travel along the e-brokerage space. Our next company to present is E*TRADE. I think everybody recognizes the brand of E*TRADE. The CEO, Carl Rossner, took over in September of last year. He was chief counsel for 7 years at E*TRADE prior to that. Again, I think there's been a lot of tension in the space over the last, in this year with the price reductions and the positioning. It's had a really unique effect on activity, at least in the beginning of the year. So with that, I'm pleased to welcome Carl Rossner, the CEO of E*TRADE.
Thanks, Rich.
So this is the first time you actually sat in this close to the fire.
and this close to you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, too. I guess the first thing I want to bring up was, I think everybody, if they follow the e-brokerage space, are well aware of the price reductions by yourself and your peers, most of the peers. And I guess what I would say, in the first quarter, though, you also saw, strong results. So I'm trying to parse out, do you agree that it was partly, the more attention to the space that this price, the price reduction caused? I'm sure there's some seasonality, but and so your own performance as well. I guess parsing out the three.
Sure. So there's a lot going on in our space, and I'm very proud of where we are. Right back in September, we announced our growth goals. We were pretty clear about them. We needed to establish a sense of urgency. We needed to hold people's feet to the fire. We needed to put a tight timeline around the goals that we laid out. And that was really to show and demonstrate both to ourselves, to the street, to our board, that we were able to grow organically and that we were able to go at standalone in this space. So very happy with where we came out in the first quarter. I think assets, accounts all went very well. There were a lot of tailwinds, Rich, as you say, from lots of different things, right? A lot of volatility, consumer confidence. There was a lot happening in the space, and we definitely benefited from that. So I can't sort of raise a flag and say, we win, we did a great job. It's one quarter. There's still a lot yet to be done. But then we get hit with the pricing cuts, and sort of how those came. And I think when you talk about price cuts in our industry, I don't think I would ever call them a tailwind, right, or anything that was helpful to us. But anything that gets people to engage and think about their finances and think about how they want to engage with their finances and starts them thinking is a good thing for us. It's a good thing for our whole industry. Right, when people want to talk about their investments, talk about getting into investing or starting to take care of their own money, it's always good. And anytime we get to engage with our customer, it's a good opportunity for an additional interaction with them or an additional use of a product, a service. Show them a little bit more, teach them a little bit more about E*TRADE. So I wouldn't call it sort of beneficial, but I am. It's good to be engaging with our customers on a regular basis.
But I would point out that if you look at, again, you're basing your metrics, or a lot of your comparisons off of 3Q prior to you taking over, that I wouldn't say you were industry leading. You were industry leading in the improvement that you made from 3Q, both in the brokerage, the account growth, as well as net new assets. Whatever the growth rate was then to the first quarter, yours was the highest jump in both of those categories. So would you attribute that to what things you're doing new? Or?
So when you look at what we're focused on, we've been pretty consistent about this. There are primarily three things that are on my radar on a regular basis. That's completion of the options house integration, right? Getting that done and moving all those benefits along. Relaunching our brand, right? And also dealing with all of our customer pain points, really refocusing the organization, realigning so that we remember that our customer is key and core to our franchise and making sure that we don't provide them with any reasons to leave us. The first two I just talked about, Rich, on Options House and on our rollout of our rebranding, which I'm extremely excited about, haven't happened yet. So the first quarter results, in addition to the tailwinds, were driven primarily by our re-engagement with the customer. So I'm very happy where we are and as a result of that, but I'm excited about what comes next.
You talk about this rebranding that's coming, and it just, the feel that I'm getting, and I got the campaigns. If you look at Ameritrade has the new Green Room campaign, Schwab, I'll name it, but the Guarantee campaign, and I think you've given it Fidelity Total Customer Value. Yours is the Irreverent Challenger. Is that an actual brand, or is that my name?
It's more of who we are.
Okay.
We've always been an Irreverent Challenger brand.
Can you talk about when you expect it to roll out, and how do you differentiate, or will it differentiate? Again, the others aren't standing, you know, it's sort of like a moving picture, a dynamic picture. They're not standing still either as you roll this out.
Sure. We've always done very well as a brand. We've always punched above our weight. We've had fantastic recognition, brand recognition in the marketplace, even though we don't spend, you know, nearly as much as our primary competitors do. So our brand has always punched above its weight and done quite well. Rolling it out now, very excited about what our marketing team has done with our outside advisors to really take us back to our Irreverent Challenger brand, right? To show a little bit more about who E*TRADE is, what we can do for our customers, and how we'll interact with them and how we'll be available to them and for them to reach their goals as they deal with their finances. So a lot to come. I think there's a lot of space for us to improve with our marketing and to drive forward. I don't think it's necessarily to be compared with any others. It'd be quite different from anything you've seen out there. And I'm excited about getting us back on the map and raising the profile of our brand again.
So you have the brand, the advertising campaign coming.
Yep.
Another thing you've talked about is coming is a fully integrated platform. And I'll fill in the gaps here. So you acquire Auctions House. At some point, you try to consolidate down to one platform. Can you talk about, I believe this will occur in the third quarter, and can you talk about how that sets off, you know, further, what you call it, positive results, or how can it help E*TRADE when you accomplish it?
So when I look at Auctions House, a lot of people talk about platform or integration, but we acquired a bunch of different things, and the reasons for that acquisition were many. All right, first and foremost, we acquired a very active and engaged customer base. There's 50% of our derivatives DARTs in 5% of our customers when we took on Auctions House. So that's a nice engaged customer base for us. The second thing is the management team. Right, we brought on some really seasoned veterans in this space, guys who know the trader, who know the active trader routine, and who know how to interact in the derivative space. So these are people who are laser focused on this. The next piece is the environment in which they build. I talked about this back in September when I took over about working in a more agile environment. For those of you that are, you know, involved and engaged in the tech world, it's a fast way to move things forward, right? Working together in small groups, really discrete project sets, a new way of project management to bring things to the street more quickly. Right? And then finally, it's the platform, the number one rated derivatives platform, you know, out there. It's pretty fantastic. And when you look at combining that platform with E*TRADE's 24/7 service, as well as you know, our educational offerings, you put those together and you take a consolidated platform forward, we think we have a pretty compelling offering. Now, a big part of that, in terms of what we're doing go forward, is around our active trader philosophy and the active trader space. To us, active trader is not the quasi, you know, institutional trader who's doing 150 trades a month or 150 trades a quarter. It's more looking at the actively engaged retail customer. And that actively engaged retail customer does about 10 trades a month, about 30 trades a quarter. And it's the way that Auctions House had looked at it, and they'd done very well with that strategy. We believe that that's an underserved portion of the marketplace. We believe a consolidated offering between Auctions House and E*TRADE, as we continue to roll it forward, will be a fantastic offering for those people. It'll be a differentiated product and service offering, and we'll be in a very nice place when we roll out the platform, Rich. And just to go to your point, in terms of integration, completely on track for 3Q. And at that integration, that's when you'll see, you know, the synergies sort of come through. So on the cost side, will be there. There'll be a little bit of spillover into the fourth quarter just as we finish sort of matching up the integration, getting things done. On the revenue side, we see a little bit of upside from what we announced based on where the interest rate environment is, and other things we've been able to sort of cook through as we've been integrating. Happy with where we are and fully expect to have a nice rollout in Q3.
Your active trader bar is what OptionHouse has, the 30 trades?
30 trades a quarter.
A quarter.
Yeah.
Not to step back into this, but again, on the commission thing.
Yeah.
You did lower that bar. That was the bar that you lowered to for all of E*TRADE. I guess the point is, were you going to go to something like this regardless of what the industry did?
Here's the way I think about the pricing changes. At $9.99 a trade, our customers were getting pretty amazing value for what they were paying, right? In terms of execution quality, in terms of service, tools, product offering that we have, I think we're in a good spot. The market moved. You don't want to be at premium price point when the rest of the market has sort of come down around you. We took our, right, to split it into two pieces, we took our rack rate or our sort of headline rate to the $6.95. What we also did was pull forward the OptionHouse strategy, $4.95 a trade, $0.50 a contract on options, to roll that out to really our active trader set. That's the 30 trades a quarter, 10 trade a month. We think that that set of customers is actually one we can continue to build, right? As you teach that set to leg into options or to leg into derivatives, and you roll out E*TRADE's education behind it, and you roll out the functionality to the entire E*TRADE base, it's a nice offering for them to use. Pulling the $4.95 forward, that was planned in connection with the integration and rolling that out, call it in the fall. It's pulled forward because we're pushed there, and we're happy to go there because this is where we're sort of planning on this front on the $4.95. I think it's a compelling offering and differentiating on sort of the product and service side, right? With derivative sales specialists, with tools and 24/7 service, it can be quite compelling at that level.
This playbook seems vaguely familiar to me in regards to Ameritrade acquired thinkorswim, an options, a more advanced options platform, offered it to all their customers. It seemed like all that went well for them. It sounds like it's a similar playbook, a repeat of that. I would say their DARTs, Ameritrade's DARTs, option or derivatives make up 44% of their, or roughly right around there. Your target is 35%. Is there a reason why your it's potentially because thinkorswim was a bigger base or percentage of their mix to begin with. They had more active options traders. Why do you think, how do you explain the 35%, your target versus, say, Ameritrade at 44%?
A couple of things in there. We have 35% of our DARTs as derivative trades. Growing our derivative trades to 35%, as I think Rich probably saw this morning or may have seen this morning. From May, that was about 32%. We're sort of on our way in terms of what we'd like to see. That's not an end game. It's not an end state for E*TRADE. When we talk about 35%, we talk about $6 billion on managed accounts. We talk about the 2 to 3 percentage point growth in assets and accounts. That's not an end state, right? That's a target for the defined time period that we've announced. I just don't want people to be confused that sort of we get there, we declare victory, and move on. We actually think we can exceed that if we do this right, and we sort of execute up to our potential. When I look at the 35% versus some others, I think it's really about the futures offering. Our futures right now as a percentage of our DARTs.
Okay. Yeah.
Are about 2%. As you leg into that.
Yeah.
That's not very good. We will be rolling out in connection with and a little bit after the integration gets done, rolling out a fully integrated futures platform. We think that platform and going out will give us additional potential to grow over the 35%.
Got it. I know Ameritrade is well on their way with the futures. I guess this brings E*TRADE back into the mix in regards to, I guess, what your core offering and core competency was. I guess the next question is more about where do you go you're well on your way. The first quarter numbers, again, it was a seasonal good quarter, but you outpaced the peers as well as far as the improvement from 3Q. So I guess the question is, what's longer term? Is there, let's say investors give you the nod for achieving these growth objectives you've laid out, what's more on the active, beyond the active trader, I guess is the question.
So moving forward, I like to think about further into the digital space, right? Interacting with your customers on a more seamless basis, giving them the tools that they desire to interact with us, right? So moving it more to a digital offering and potentially being able to, you know, take some more cost out and think about the way we deliver our products and services, right? So that's sort of the first thing I think of. What we're really trying to get to, though, and where our goals are, is becoming, you know, the number one broker and advisor, right, to both investors and traders, go forward, right? And have our offering be known for ease of use, right, and completeness, right? Having everything that they need in one place, right? And that spans from the individual who wants support and service on a 24-hour basis, and then we have the customer who just wants to interact with you digitally. So it's rolling those out. And I think our growth goals, Rich, if we can continue to hit on them and grow the way that we expect to, both on the trading side and on the investing side longer term, we'll be in a pretty good place.
Do you feel over the longer term there's a need to diversify a way, more way, or become less dependent on trading commissions? I know you're not the highest, but
So commissions, right, as a percentage of our revenues are, I believe it's less than 25% at this point. So we're in a pretty good place. I mean, our structure allows us to monetize the cash that's on our balance sheet. We've been quite effectively doing that, particularly in a rising rate environment. So I'm fairly comfortable with the current strategy. I believe it's the right one to execute go forward. And you know, just back to what I just talked about a little bit, growing our managed account segment and growing our managed products, and bringing in more investors on that side that are with us with their long-term money is really a place we want to be.
When I look at Eaton, I've covered E-Trade for a few years. this does seem like some assets that you have that can contribute. Again, I hear you about the trade, but both the employee stock plan administration business, that appears to be that's something that it seems like none of the management teams prior have been fully able to capitalize. And it's certainly been in their radar, but it hasn't been capitalized. That, I guess, and the other thing being just as a good deposit generator as well. So either of those sort of assets that E-Trade has factor into the longer term strategy as well?
Oh, I think they both continue to factor into the strategy long term. Absolutely. Our corporate services business is the leader out there. We have the number one rated platform over 5 years running. We service some of the largest companies, you know, in America in terms of being in the S&P and the percentage of the S&P that we represent. So we have nearly 1.5 million stock plan account customers on us. Most of those folks are on us accidentally. Right, so penetrating that marketplace and making sure that they know the full breadth and width of what we can provide for them as they interact with their finances or as they get a stock grant vest or they have an option that they're going to exercise and there's cash in that account, helping them plan their future, it's a big part of what we're focused on, Rich. So absolutely, continuing to grow that business, continuing to invest in the platform, it's a differentiator competitively for us. In terms of the balance sheet, in terms of growing our customer deposits, look, our deposits come from our brokerage customers. They're a lot more sticky, they're a lot more predictable, and they're a lot more valuable given that they're not really rate sensitive, even in interest rate environment. I mean, of course, there's some rate sensitivity, but you don't see a lot of it. Because it's cash that's earmarked for, you know, investing or it's been put away. So growing that and continuing to grow our balance sheet, it's exactly where we are, Rich, so you're spot on.
So when you talk about deposits and the balance sheet, in 25 minutes, you don't get to cover everything. So we haven't even delved into, I guess, it's an evolving time for E-Trade as you cross the 50 billion, the $50 billion mark. Even hopefully that market is raised, but anyway, as you've already crossed it. So it's an evolving time for E-Trade. The question, and to be upfront with you is, investors ask, is when is the to maximize value? How do you look at maximize value for shareholders? If I have no idea whether anybody would be interested in acquiring now, but how do you look at maximizing value now versus, say, down the road a year?
Yeah, I mean, it's a question that comes up quite often, and what I can tell you, Rich, is our management team is always focused on driving additional value in the business, right? How do we grow the business? How do we grow our share? How do we generate more revenue? How do we continue to cut down on our, make our op margin greater, so cut down on our expense base? Being focused on that, so continuously driving value, whether that be aligning the management team to make sure that we're all focused on the same set of goals and rowing the boat in the same direction, or continuing to look at new revenue streams, right? What else can we do to continue to maximize revenue and drive revenue and maximize value? As a board member, we take it very seriously in terms of maximizing value for shareholders, and the board believes that the current strategy we're doing with our growth goals, the time frame that we've announced, is absolutely the right one for the company at this point in time. And that's not something that they take lightly. This is a board that looks at that on an annual basis. Right, we have third parties come in and they talk to us about value and they look at our strategy and they talk about what's out in the marketplace. So it's a very well-educated, well-informed board, Rich. So I think in terms of driving value, I'm very comfortable that our current strategy is the right one for this term.
I guess my wrap-up or conclusion question, that's been my theme of the day, besides trying to understand why volatility is low. But the sort of summarizing question I'd ask, you've been CEO for 9 months, so not a long time, but you have been at E-Trade, for 7 years, and has been right in the midst, at a board level, being a general accountant, right in the midst of the goods and the bads, I would say. So the question is, so what is the you bring with your experience, your background, your capabilities that brings that would allow you, or where do you think you bring E-Trade in the next phase of its evolution? Because you're already through the $50 billion SIFI limit. So, what evolvement do you bring, given your capabilities and your background, to bring E-Trade to that next level? How do you marry the two?
I go back further than that. I did my first transaction and represented E-Trade in 2000. So I've been kicking around this place for close to 17 years now. And I have to tell you, this is a special place, right? You look at the brand, you look at the way that they've executed over the years. We've done really good things. The first sort of trade to go across the wire was here. Right? We were the original innovator in this space. So I've seen a lot of ways that this place has been handled. I've seen five separate CEOs when I was GC. I've seen the good, the bad, the indifferent. And I have to tell you that what I bring to this place is focus. Right. I've built a management team. We've acquired people from Options House. As a result of that management team, we were able to attract some really good, deep industry talent in marketing, in sales and service, reinvigorating E-Trade from within its walls, aligning the management team to focus on the growth goals that we've set. And you've already seen some of that just from the customer experience. Right. So it's really focusing on the end game, getting E-Trade back to its innovative roots and making us again a disruptor in this space. That's what I bring to the table, Rich. So I have no issue with our growth goals. I'm extremely confident that we'll get there. I look where we are today, and I know we have a fantastic marketing campaign rolling out over the next couple of weeks, integrate Options House and take the platform forward. So I kind of like the position we're in right now.
I would say you're right in the mix, and it's an evolving company, and you've done great in the first 9 months, first quarter of this year as well. So
thank you, Rich.
Congratulations, and
thank you. Thank you.